Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We're quite possessive. He joins us weekly, the film's EO, Barbarian, and They're There. Now, really, how many prepositions? You want to buy a preposition? You got a story.
I know it. Even you would have a hard time making a narrative out of those three titles. But anyway, there they are, and they are all movies that are out and around right now, and each in its own way is actually very worthwhile. So let us begin with EO, which is the most unusual of the bunch. This is by a Polish filmmaker named Jerzy Skolimowski, who co-wrote the movie with Iwa Piaskowska. And many years ago, Jerzy was a really, really great filmmaker. He made a couple of my favorite movies of the 70s, a movie called Deep End and a movie called The Shout, which is an absolutely masterpiece movie anyway. And it's a long time since he's made a movie that good, but he has now made a really considerable piece of work, this new movie called EO. And by the way, that is the name of the main character who happens to be a donkey. Now, I got to be a tiny little bit film historical here. Back in 1966, a very, very toweringly great French filmmaker named Robert Bresson made a movie called Ozar Balthazar, which basically means Balthazar by chance, and it was the story of a donkey named Balthazar who happened to be a saint. Or you could look at it the other way, a saint who happened to be a donkey living in the modern world. Well, now Jerzy Skolimowski has made a movie which is kind of a spin-off of that. It's not a remake, but it tells a similar story. It is about a donkey named Io, and as in that earlier film from the 60s, Io goes through various life experiences. He passes from one owner to another. Sometimes he is bought, sometimes he is stolen, sometimes he is traded, and we see his experiences and the experiences of various people with whom he is in contact over the course of the film. There is particularly a young woman who is one of the people who is closest to him, and we see her at the very beginning of the movie, but she kind of disappears from his life for a while, and again, he goes through different owners and different experiences in different places, and that is what we follow, and as in that 60s movie, we have a sort of a by chance here. A lot of things seem to be happening by accident or by arbitrariness, and I don't think that EO has quite as strong a kind of a theological dimension as that original movie did, Ozar Balthazar, but it definitely is a movie full of mystery and inviting us to kind of ponder the inexplicable things about living experience, human and animal. I have to say that Ozar Balthazar often appears when I make a list of the 10 greatest movies ever made, and I'm not the only person who feels that way about it. I think it's one of the great masterpieces of cinema of all time, that French movie from the 1960s. This new sort of spin-off movie is not that great, but it's still quite marvelous. As I said before, it's a real return to form for Jerzy Skolimowski. Unlike the original movie, it is shot in color, and it is very beautiful, glowing color. And it has a lot of drama in it. It has a certain amount of heartbreak and tragedy and pathos in it. It also has some rather nice, happy moments in it along the way. It begins with Io being in the possession of this young woman who has a circus act with him. And that all comes to ruin when some animal activists come in. And they are disrupting the use of animals in circus acts, which, by the way, I think is a great idea. Definitely do that. But they wrest Io away from his owner, and that's the end of the circus part of his career. But then he goes through a number of other owners and associations and people he's involved with. Sometimes he is lost. Sometimes he is wandering on his own, and then he will come into the possession of somebody else. Some of the people who own him seem to have good motives and want to do nice things in the world. Some of them are really, really bad, and bad things happen. At the end, I will admit that, yes, at the end, EO does not come to a happy end. But then again, it's not an unhappy end either. As in the earlier film, Ozar Balthazar, the movie ends with his death. In Ozar Balthazar, the death of the donkey is one of the most beautiful and peaceful and sublime scenes that I know out of any movie I have ever seen. And I've seen a lot of movies in my time, Joe. The end of EO is not quite that sublime, but it's quite a beautiful ending. And although it's sad, it is not it's not all that terribly disturbing. If you're very, very sensitive to the treatment of animals in the movies, you might be nervous about going to see EO. However, after the last image of the narrative has concluded, there is a statement on the screen from Skolimowski and his co-writer where he says they made this movie out of their profound love for animals. Absolutely no animal was harmed or mistreated or, I suspect, even made uncomfortable at any time during the filming of the movie. This is all an act of homage toward animals, and it is a plea for the humane and decent and loving treatment of animals. So in that respect, one is quite safe in seeing the movie EO, even though it certainly has its sad moments. I have to say, EO is not the greatest movie of this year, as at least one critic has said, but it won big at the Cannes Film Festival earlier this year, and I think it's definitely one of this year's best movies. It is certainly absolutely the year's best movie about a donkey. So I can recommend EO very, very highly. It's an art movie. It's a challenging movie. It's an unconventional movie, but it's a very beautiful movie, including visually in all sorts of ways. So a good return to form for the great filmmaker Jerzy Skolimowski, and a very good movie out of this year's lineup. Now, as Monty Python used to say, for something completely different, Barbarian. This is a movie written and directed by a new filmmaker named Zach Cregger, and it is a horror movie. Now, there have been so many horror movies this year, one after another. Yes, yes. This is maybe the best of them all that I've seen in this year of 2022. It is a really, really solid, scary horror movie, and if you like horror movies, it's one that you should definitely seek out. Took me a little while to get to it. It's been out for a little while now because the title made me think it was one of these, you know, comic book movies with marauders and stuff like that, but it really is not that at all. In fact, it starts out being the story of a young woman, beautifully, beautifully acted, by the way, by Georgina Campbell, who shows up at an Airbnb, and this is a sort of experience a lot of people can relate to. There's already a young man who is in the Airbnb. What is he doing in there? Well, she has this place. She's got all the documents right here. But no, it appears they rented it to him for exactly the same time period, and there they are. So is she going to go in and maybe he'll sleep on the couch and she'll sleep in the bedroom? Well, that's one way they might work this out. On the other hand, she's never seen this guy before in her life. They're both young people. This could be a very dangerous and bad situation. What's going on? Eventually, they come to a kind of agreement and they are both sort of sharing the Airbnb. And so you think that is what this horror movie is going to be about. It is going to be about this young man is probably the barbarian of the title, and horrible things are going to happen in their relationship. But oh, things go in such different directions. It turns out that there's a downstairs to this Airbnb, and it turns out that down in the downstairs, there is a hidden secret corridor, and there seem to be sinister, scary things down there. What's going on? And then the young man sort of disappears somewhere down there, and the young woman goes looking for him, and the next thing you know, there's some horrible monster chasing them, and then the next thing you know, all of a sudden, somewhere around the middle of the movie, we're suddenly in a totally different time, totally different place, and we are now with a young man who is in terrible trouble for sexual harassment in the movie business, and he has got to get out of town for a while he gets his stuff together and figures out whether he can keep his career and his life going while these lawsuits are starting to swirl about him. Well, he decides he better go somewhere where nobody can find him for a bit, so he goes to this rental property that he owns, and it turns out to be our Airbnb where we have already spent the first part of the movie. So there he is. He is there now. Where are those other two people? Well, maybe they're still down there in that secret hidden corridor with his sinister rooms down in the basement. And eventually, of course, these storylines come together. And then we meet to another storyline where we have a guy in sort of an origin thing where there is a really sinister, insane person who once owned this Airbnb before it was an Airbnb. And he enters the story too. And we begin to be able to piece together just sort of what is going on here. Anyway, sounds complicated. Parts of it, especially in the last part of the story, get a little bit murky, a little bit challenging to follow, but the atmosphere is really, really strong. The settings are scary, that underground corridor. We've seen this kind of thing in a jillion movies before, but it's really, really really well done here. And the end, of course, is a big chase that takes us to a very high place. And there's a scary stuff if you're an acrophobe like me. And the whole thing comes to the sort of ending that horror movies usually come to. Anyway, Barbarian is a beautifully acted movie, really well shot movie, pretty darn scary movie. No, it's not a major work of art or anything like that. It's a horror movie in the modern mode. But it's a really, really well done one. And of all the movies I've seen that have been sort of generic horror movies this year, Barbarian is probably the best. I think that Zach Cregger is a filmmaker to keep an eye on. I certainly think that he has done a splendid job with this picture, Barbarian. If you like horror movies, if you want to spice up your holiday season with something, which I found pretty darn scary, then give this one a shot. It's really, really good. And our last movie, Jill, has an unusual title, There, There. And it is an unusual movie in oh so many ways. But it's a whole lot lighter than either EO or Barbarian. Made by a young, not so young anymore, I suppose, independent filmmaker named Andrew Bajalski, who started out as what used to be called the mumblecore movement, movies about young people sort of hanging about and mumbling at each other. But he's become a more interesting filmmaker than that, I think, in recent years. And There, There is a very unusual movie in all kinds of ways. And it is, yes, it is a movie that was made under the conditions of the pandemic lockdowns. But Bujalski took this to an extreme and made that be almost a part of the film itself. So here's how the movie begins. The movie begins with a couple of young people. Well, they're not that young, a couple of youngish folks who are sort of hanging out with each other. Lily Taylor, who I've said this many times, I think is one of the greatest actors that we have in movies and television today. Lily Taylor, fabulous. And Lenny James. And they have just spent a night together. They don't know each other very well. And now it is the morning after, and they're sort of deciding whether they want to stay friends and whether they want to meet again and stuff like this. Okay, that's a very common situation in the movies. But you start to notice something as the scene goes on. The two of them never appear in the same shot together. It's always cutting between one and the other and one, back and forth. And okay, that's fine. It's a very fluid scene, and you see their relationship, and you get the idea that they're very close to each other. They're in the same room. They're in the same apartment. They're in the same area. But there is something a little bit unusual about this. Well, when you find out how the movie was made, in fact, they never were in the same movie as each other. This was a movie shot under pandemic lockdown with total pandemic separation. Andrew Bajalski, who wrote and directed the movie, was in one place with his Zoom and his computer monitors that showed him the images that iPhones were recording off there in the distance, and the actors, all the actors, throughout the whole movie. The movie is basically a series of two-person scenes where we have two people interacting with each other, but none of them were ever in the same room. Most of the time, none of them were ever even in the same city, and they were never in the same city as the director, and they were never in the same city as the cinematographer. All these people were in completely different places. The movie was shot with iPhones, and it was all coordinated by the director and cinematographer with their Zoom and with their computers showing the various iPhone images as they shot these scenes. Now, that sounds like a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. It's just a fabulously interesting way of shooting a movie. In fact, every scene in the film has an intimacy. You feel these actors are really interacting with each other, even though they were filming their scenes one at a time. So you imagine, there you are. You're in a room, and there's an iPhone on you, and you are doing a scene, and you are saying your dialogue, but there's nobody else there. The cinematographer is somewhere else. The other actor who's in the scene with you is somewhere else and is not acting right now. That scene might be shot a few weeks from, or excuse me, that person might be shot a few weeks from now, and then all put together in the editing. Well, this harkens back to discoveries that were made in the early days of cinema, especially back in the 1920s, when the great Soviet film theorists of that day realized and discovered and took advantage of the fact that through editing, you can splice together different things that were shot in different times and places with different people, and you can wipe out geography, you can even wipe out identity by the way you film things and the way you stitch those shots together. And that is exactly what Andrew Bajalski has has done here. He has made a movie where everything was done with people alone in rooms. And yet when we watch the movie, we see what appear to be these genuine, psychologically rich human interactions between couples, between pairs of people. But it was all shot in this very unusual way. So I've been emphasizing, Jill, the way the movie was shot. And I think that's fascinating. And it's terrific to think about this while you're watching the movie. But it's just a really good movie. It's funny. It's emotional. These different couples, these different pairs of people have all kinds of dynamics with each other. At one point, there's a scene with an angry parent in a schoolroom. Other times, it's romantic couples. There's nice people. There's people who are not so nice. And it's just a rich, warm, very, very varied and emotionally diverse human comedy. So they're unusual in the way it was made, and that's fascinating to think about, and just a beautiful, fun, interesting movie to watch. So I think there is one of those interesting films I've seen in quite a while, and one of the nicest films I've seen in a while. Highly recommended for holiday viewing or anytime viewing. So that is my somewhat film historical story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always and ever. There, there, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. There, there. The films, Io, Barbarian, and There, There.